Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
On today's episode of The Therapy Crouch, we've got a very special guest, my mum, Karen Clancy.
We talk about Abby and Karen galloping on camels.
And I relive my days as the star of the Harlequin dance troupe.
All this and more on today's episode of The Therapy Crouch.
Brick and, you know, a backsplash.
Oh. I've bricked a few backsplashes to my... Fuck off, you fat bastard.
I'm leaving you.
These are Bryce, Mark in the toolbox. That doesn't even make sense either. Just a complete tool, basically.
You haven't been shabbering me, actually. I had two words to say. Ed Sheeran.
Well, that's one of my favourites as well.
Hello and welcome to The Therapy Crouch with me, Abby Clancy.
And me, Peter Crouch.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Guys.
All good. How are we?
Good.
All good.
Why are you smiling?
I'm just happy to be here, Abby.
Do you know what? He's happy to be here because he got pied off last week, didn't he? Because we had Rio and Kate on.
Yeah.
He was kind of surplus to requirements. So it's nice to have Ross back.
I know.
Yeah, how was your weekend? So I saw it on telly.
Yeah, so we went to the Brits, which I always love the Brits. My friend Damien is like one of the big wigs at Warner and, you know, runs the Brit. He was on the cover of Music Week and proud of him. So just want to give a shout out to Damien, who we love.
We love Damien. But yeah, so is that why we present an award?
Probably. Because we've got inside friends. We've got friends on the inside.
It's not who you know.
Yeah.
It's not what you know.
One or the other.
But I had a bit of a... when we got asked to present the award, I was so sceptical about it because last time I presented award and it was to Ed Sheeran. I had two words to say, Ed Sheeran. And I was stood on stage. I was pregnant. Everyone thought I was pissed, but obviously I wasn't because I was like 6 months pregnant. And I was too busy like watching the VTs and completely missed my cue. I was just standing there like this big pregnant bimbo.
God, I was watching it at home and I thought, I'm sure she's got something to say.
So Pete made his own script and made sure I only had two words again. The nominees are...
Yeah, I saw that.
I thought you delivered them fantastically well, though.
Do you know, it was so hard being on a stage in a leopard print catsuit.
Yeah.
A leopard print Cavalli runway catsuit.
That's why I didn't
with
do
a
it.
Mic in my hands and difficult. Not singing Shallow. You know, it's the first time.
Think of how many music...
Babe,
big
that
wigs.
Could have been my moment.
That would have been your perfect... Been Martin man. McCutcheon perfect moment.
Literally. Literally. I was like Roger Rabbit. Like, you know, when you... Tourette's.
You dying to sing Shallow.
I just wanted to sing Shallow so much.
You should have just done it. It was your moment there with all the music people.
I know, but I couldn't because I was breathing in so much in that outfit.
Are you?
I don't think I could have got my notes out.
I think it was worth it.
He looked good as well. He looked like the milk tray man.
Milk tray, Steve Jobs. I got a bit of Steve Jobs.
Everyone was saying how incredible you looked. Apart from my dad called me and went, what the fuck's going on with Peter? He's got a big bouffant. But we had a great day.
I have to say, we went up there early, right? Yeah. And I was involved in a...
Should we talk them through
very
a day?
Girly day.
Yeah.
I have to say, it was...
Girly day? It was one of the best days of your life?
I enjoyed it, but it was very girly.
The Brits Day is a big thing. So I'll talk you through a typical... Get ready with me. Gwerm. Let's do a little gwerm for Brits Day.
Is that actually a thing called gwerm? Is that what people do?
It can't be Gwyrm.
It's
like a thing on...
Get ready with me.
Gwyrm. Yeah. It's like what the kids do on Insta.
It's like what the young ones are doing.
Yeah, it's what the young ones do
on
TikTok.
You can have a go as well.
Oh my God, I can't. You know, we went to the Brit Awards with Perfect magazine. And Katie Grand is one of my really good friends, and she's the editor of Perfect. And she asked me to do like a Perfect magazine takeover on my phone. Like, you know, when you've got your phone, you're trying to like do something arty. I turned around, it was me with tensions. And then I tried to flip it the other way, and it was like, wouldn't zoom in. I couldn't get the flash on. I also had these leopard print gloves on, so my screen couldn't work. And all the kids were laughing at me, and I felt like 900 years old. So I need some of our listeners to give me some top tips on how to be a content creator.
I should have
those. I know.
That is literally what I do.
I know. But so a typical getting ready, we left the house at 10 in the morning. We stopped off at McDonald's on the way, which is normally what you should do at the end. But we had a pre-match Big Mac.
Nice. At 10 a.m. Tidy.
11. And it was so funny because McDonald's was so busy. And I was like, ugh, what wrongins eat McDonald's on a Saturday morning? Meanwhile, me and you are like stuffing our faces in the back of the car. I know, I couldn't believe it. So we got to the hotel. I had a massage booked for me and Pete.
Nice.
Then, because we're going straight from the Brits, straight from the hotel to the Brits, we had all our clothes and all our gear with us.
This is where the problem arised, like the first problem.
So, obviously, Pete stripped off to get his massage. He's getting his massage, so I packed all his clothes away and gave them to Lee, the driver,
yeah,
to take home.
So when I get up from the massage, I'm like, where's the clothes gone?
Bear in mind, it's 12 o'clock. We're not leaving till 5.
I'm not putting on my suit now. I've got like 5 hours to chill around the hotel. Bearing in mind, it's all like, you know, Ab's got a makeup artist, and, you know, the hair people there.
Did I give you a robe at the hotel?
Yeah, but you want to see his robe?
Hugh Hefner.
Talk about Rosie Huntington Whiteley robe.
It was
right?
Like a mini skirt robe, which wouldn't even barely fit around his waist.
Barely covered me.
So Alfie, my best friend Alfie, who was doing the hair with my sister Elle, yeah, Luckily had an emergency face mask in his bag. So Pete, it calmed Pete down quickly. So Pete was sitting in the robe that would barely their robe with a face mask on.
This is an unbelievable
watching
sight.
Football.
If you walked in there, right, and saw me, I had a mini skirt dressing gown on with a face mask on, right? Trying to watch the football.
But then you had a haircut. You got more pampered than me that day.
Well, I just thought to myself, what else am I going to do? I'm either going to embrace the situation or go downstairs and have a beer with no clothes on. The only option I had to do was just embrace this girl's day.
I respect that.
So you know what? That's what I did. And I did everything that a girl would do.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
A few things. It was relaxing. I enjoyed it. Yeah, it's not something I'm in a rush to do again, but I get it.
He was just chilling with his face mask on while I was getting hair glued into my head. And
a lot goes into it.
You know, the five-hour makeup. But it's good. It's a big deal, the Brits. It's always a fun night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, feel quite honoured that we got asked to present an award to Dua Lipa!
I know.
Who I love. She was incredible.
That's a big award that you got to do as well. Best new pop artist or something like that.
It was an honour, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was a bit like, oh God, we can't drink now till 9:30, otherwise we're going to be bladdered. Going on this.
That was the issue. We had a couple. I mean,
we had a couple, yeah.
Well,
I was like, I'm not going to drink until before the award. Oh, go on, just have a little inch. Give me a little inch. Oh, do you want a drink? Oh no, I'm not drinking. Oh, go on, give us another little inch.
Give her an inch and take some off. Yeah.
Give her an inch and she'll drink the bottle. No, it was good, wasn't it?
It was good, yeah.
And we saw Rio and Kate there, looking fabulous. Yeah, I was terrified to hug Rio because he was like head to toe in white and I had like all, you know, tan.
Yeah.
And body glitter all over me. So I thought I was going to get that over him, and Kate looked fantastic.
Yeah, of course. And you know, that brings me neatly onto my weekly wine, actually.
Oh.
Basically the weekly wine involves, obviously they came around to our house, Rio and Kate, didn't I, for the last podcast.
Oh, you, that's your wine?
Well, it's just...
Wait until you get my wine then.
My wine is this selective shoes off at the door. I can't even use my front door anymore, right? I'm going in through the utility like a dog. And Rio and Kate coming, oh, how are you guys? Rio obviously being the perfect, you know...
Respectful guest.
For being
host.
being the respectful guests that they were, should I take my shoes off? No. God.
I clocked up.
I can't even care. Don't even worry about it. Shoes off? Not a problem.
This old floor? Oh, no.
This floor here? Yeah. Oh.
But I was so embarrassed that they
so
came.
So blasé.
I was embarrassed that they came to the house because we've still got no furniture, so the house is like completely empty. Bloody Ralph peed on the rug just before they arrived. So there was it was like a Barocca, like luminous yellow on the rug. So, and Pete didn't tell me that Rio needed to be fed.
Yeah, I know.
And my Ocado was coming. My online food delivery was coming that afternoon. We'd had our breakfast before they arrived and I had no food for Rio and Kate. Like, I literally couldn't even make them a piece of toast. It was so embarrassing.
I do have to kind of own up to that. Like, he had texted me in advance and said, like, be some food and stuff for me because, like, you know, he's on a schedule.
He's a big boy.
It's a protein. Mm. You know, he does his works out and he needs to eat at specific times.
His macros
at
certain times.
So all that stuff, you know what I mean? So I just said, yeah,
meanwhile,
no worries, mate.
Pete's like that on a crab stick because I've got nothing in.
Abs on a fad diet, so hence so am I.
Yeah.
So anyway, he texted and said, you know, I said, yeah, I said, we got all this covered, not a problem. Then didn't relay any of the information to Abby.
Yeah, so I was so embarrassed. They turned up. You know, they've had an hour journey. They were starving, thinking they were going to get like some big, you know, slap up lunch and didn't even have any drinks.
Mm. Yeah.
They were like, M&S ambassadors, you messing.
Well, I'll be honest with you, like, Ab knows this very well, but I live my life kind of like what we did, what we got on today.
Mm.
So all the planning and stuff isn't, I'm not very good at. So when he asked me that, I said, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. Like I always do. Like, you have to do, when you say, Apple say, send me something on Amazon, can you just buy that for me?
Oh, yeah, like the World Book Day costume.
Yeah.
Which we didn't get. We had to just, like, rummage through the kids' dressing up box and send them in with, and be like, oh, sorry, they've forgotten the book, because we didn't have a Lilo and Stitch book to go with the Stitch pyjamas onesie that Johnny went in on World Book Day.
Yeah.
I send it all to Pete in advance. You know, I go through
if
my
I don't
list.
Do it there and then.
I go through, set my list of a morning, do that. I haven't got an Amazon account. Pete's got the Amazon account. So when I send them over, I think, you know, that job's done. And it never
invariably
is.
It isn't.
But you can plan a golf trip within an inch of its life.
You've already done that one. We cheers that one. That one's gone.
No, it's
that
not.
That ship has sailed,
well,
sweetheart.
It hasn't. It actually sweetheart. Hasn't. Guys, we've got a huge favour to ask you all.
Yeah, we took the mick out of people saying, subscribe to my channel last week. But that's exactly what we're asking you to do. Please subscribe because it actually means a hell of a lot for this podcast. And if you do, we'll show you what Ross looks like.
If you want to see Ross's sexy schmush, hit subscribe now. Shabba. We're going back to Rio and Kate. They did take the shoes off. And a well-trained friend.
Well, only because I said she's lying here. Because I feel like I know Rio better. I've known Rio for a long time.
Rio definitely takes his shoes off.
She's being very polite here, but she wants you to take them off.
No, but you can tell people who walk into your house and don't take the shoes off are totally disrespectful in my eyes.
Dragged off.
Dragged up? I wouldn't dream of walking through someone's house with shoes on.
Mm.
My mum does that. Honestly,
well,
and Ellie.
We might find out on today's episode.
My mum and Ellie do it. I'm like, get your shoes up because you've been walking in the street. Dog poo.
But also, sorry, Ross, I do have a more kind of a weekly wine to add to this. The other day I was watching you two from the top, just peeking over, you and Sophia, and she had high heels on and you were walking up and down the new floor. Sophia was like testing out how to walk in high heels. Which is a lovely moment for a mother and daughter to share, I'm sure. The first time she's ever put heels on in her life.
No, it's not. But yeah. Well, no, Gina had sent me so...
not on the floor that we...
Gina had sent me so many incredible pairs of shoes, like massive stiletto platforms and covered in Swarovski crystals and leopard print. And my girls were obviously like, oh my God. So that we were playing catwalk in the hall.
Yeah.
And I did post a video of it and I literally got thousands of people going, oh my God, the new floor, you're not allowed heels on the floor. So I just need to say no floors were harmed during the making of that video.
Okay.
But unlike you carrying the frigging truck in for the kids and scraped all my floor.
So I didn't want to grass up the kids, but they're not here now. So But I didn't do that. I was watching the match, and then they came in with that PJ mask lorry, and I didn't know it was scratching the floor.
Well, it is.
But my issue with all of this is, you know, Rio and Kate, high heels, and I'm still coming through the utility.
Are you though?
That doesn't make any sense.
Are you coming through the utility when I'm not there?
In the utility.
Me, Jeffrey and Ralph are utility based.
Can I come in yet?
I'm just going to put a lock on that door.
Like that, you know, the dogs are at the door, they want to come in. I'm like, can you let us in?
Have you dried off, Pete? Have you dried off? Come on, come in.
I might just get in there with them. Just they curl up next to Jeffrey on the dog bed.
You'd be like the Great Dane.
Yeah.
Literally the doghouse. Literally.
So your whine is that you're not allowed in?
No, my whine is just selective shoes off. It's like, how do you define someone when they arrive at our house, whether they're utility, shoes on or shoes off?
Well, in future, people who don't offer to take the door shoes off at the door are not coming in.
Yeah.
You never take yours off, Ross?
Yeah, I do.
Only now?
I've always had Pete's nice Ugg slippers on.
Well, where are they going? They're all hot. Every time I put them on.
I did have a box of brand new slippers next to the front door.
Mm. Where did that go?
It got moved when the floor got done.
Can we put it back?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was handy, that.
Mm.
A lot of slippers, and they're all like, you can have guests in slippers. It's a good vibe, that. I enjoy it. Okay, I'm going to go into some...
These new, like, papers, Ross.
Yeah, but you don't even look at that. So
I've never looked at it. When Ross gives us, like, a topic to talk about on our podcast, I've never looked at it once.
You never
looked
at it once.
I'm a natural.
Au naturel.
Au naturel.
Well, listen, I'm going to go for it. You can't read these anyway. Audience whines. Following the Shabba story. That noise isn't helpful. That's why you don't have one.
That's my wine. You haven't been shabbering me, actually.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I thought you'd be shabbering me since this whole shabber thing, and you haven't.
I haven't had the opportunity to shabber you.
You have?
Have I?
Loads.
I don't remember an opportunity, really.
Oh, my God. We need to go back to what you said when you were...
This is up there with content creation.
Go on.
going back to the Brits, I was just thinking of times then in my head where I've been naked and could have been shabbered.
God, you're naked.
When I said to Pete, God, you look so nice at the Brits. And he said...
The exact quote.
He said, yeah, I liked it. Elegant, timeless, effortless, classy.
Now you've gone too far there.
I
didn't say effortless.
You said effortless. Effortless was 100% there. Effortless, timeless, and elegant.
I definitely said elegant.
Elegant?
Well,
I was going for elegant. I think I was... I just spent too long with the girls. That's all happened.
Tell me I told you to write that exact
word. I wrote down elegant. I said elegant. I said it's an elegant look.
You said elegant, timeless, and sharp or suave or something.
Suave.
Suave. Do you know, to have as much confidence as Pete's got?
What?
I would love.
What?
To be fair, he was rocking it today.
You were rocking it and it's great, but you are a very confident person.
I don't know what you mean by confident. Like, I'm not like having myself.
You were on Brits night.
I wasn't on Brits night.
When we get on stage, you shut up. let me say the script that I've prepared.
The only reason is because obviously on the other podcast we have a couple of taglines and they're back stronger, and I and Sam Marino wanted to get in. And the only two things I wanted to get in, because there's lots of people out there at the Brits who are wondering why on earth I gave a speech about people being back stronger. But if you listen
I think that's
to
a
the
quite...
football, if you listen to, but if it, lots of people go, well, they're new artists, like lots of them, and they'll, of course they'll be back.
Well, not
year.
For best pop.
But anyway, I just wanted to get those little taglines in because the people that listen to that podcast will very much appreciate it. And that's the only reason why I did it. And it was a great stage to do it on. But I didn't say shut up, let me speak. And also I'm not ultra confident. I don't know what ultra confident, when you get to an age where you're like, this is me, you become...
Oh my God. It's so funny as well. Like, do you remember we were talking about that bloody, the pilot, the fighter jet show with Austin Butler in?
Oh, Masters of the Air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, there's that guy, Callum, who's in that Masters of the Air. And Pete's like, oh, that show that you just fancy all the guys in it. And I was like, no, it's a great show. It's not that at all. And Pete was like, you're more Dua Lipa's dad's age than his.
Again,
shots fired there.
She puts legs on it, right?
You said you'd be more Dua's dad's type than his. No, that's what you said.
That's witty, to be fair.
Dua Lipa's dad is a proper hunk, though. Obviously,
he is a good-looking man. But what I'm saying is I'm more closer to Dua Lipa's dad's age than Dua Lipa's fella's age. So what I was saying is, like, your market...
That's what you said. Your market is not Callum's age. It's more Dua's dad's age.
But I was just saying, I'm closer to her dad's age than her fella's age. That's what I was trying to say. So you're with me.
But what does that mean?
You've got balls, Peter. I'll give you that.
But you also wouldn't have been a virgin if you didn't met me.
Gets up on the Brit stage, goes on Billy Big Bollocks.
I was dressed elegantly.
Timeless.
I was having my...
That's the last time I'll be giving you a sheet mask.
Thank God I was going to say something else then.
I can't believe you put me in that.
No, you're not in that category at all. You can get any man you want. Fact. But I always say...
Right, listeners, straight in.
Yeah. 100%.
Send us pictures of your dad.
Send us pictures of you and your dad and I will choose.
We'll assess what market you're in.
Okay.
Young boys like a MILF anyway.
Certainly do.
Don't you know
it? This is my favourite genre. Is it, Kat?
Why do stupid boys like MILFs anyway? Weirdo.
Yeah. It all started with...
That's because you were breastfed.
It all started
as a child.
It all started with Stifler's mum.
Yeah.
She's got it going on.
Stifler's mum off American Pie. Oh, but I thought you were saying Stacey's mum has got it going on.
You said Stifler's mum's got it going on.
It's both have to be
fair. It's a little bit of both, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stifler was the original, wasn't it?
Yeah. American Pie.
Okay, we started with saying that the Shabba relationship went off on a tangent there. Following the Shabba story, our family have somehow managed to create a game called Tiddle Iddle Iddle. Mainly by me and my two daughters. My husband is defo not a fan of this said game. If you notice anyone in a compromising permission, your fair game to tiddle a little their bum with said finger in a high-pitched voice. Tiddle a little. Yeah, I get it.
I'm all for that game. I do that to the kids.
But hold on, there's a thing. Unless they claim BSA, which means butt shield activated, so you can't get them. So if you BSA it, you can't tiddle a little.
Like Flora's, is that like homie?
Yeah, a bit like homie, yeah.
What's homie?
Like the kids play this 40-40. floor is lava kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you can't get, and you're running around. But if they're at homie.
Oh, like base.
Base.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My husband hates it, but we think it's hilarious. Once at a barbecue, all adults playing killer pool. My husband leant over the table.
What's killer pool?
Well, like killer pool.
It's like where you take a shot each. You get like three lives and you don't...
You've played that before.
Yeah, you will have played it.
Three lives. You've played it.
Never played pool in the entire life.
You played
it
at Liberty's house once.
Did I?
We played killer. Yeah, you weren't interested.
It was like 3 a.m. though.
You might not remember that one. But yeah, anyway, I see the opportunity to jump up and tiddle him, only to realise last minute that it's not my husband. Because my husband stood at the bar across from me looking at me with a death stare. Needless to say, it was mega humiliating. But then I tried to explain to an entire room of people I barely knew, including the wife of the man I just arse invaded. I had to explain to them about our family game.
You did that similar. When we were in Ibiza, like we were in Manumission years ago. And I went to the loo and come back and Pete like had his arms around some girl like over the balcony and I come out the loo and so did her husband at the same time.
Oh my God.
And Pete had a heart attack. Like we had the same outfit on.
So you're on the balcony and lots of drink, lots turn around and say, there's Ab at the balcony. She's overlooking the balcony. Blonde hair, exact same dress on. And I
wasn't the same dress, but similar.
Well, you know, yours is also much nicer.
Obviously. I had a better figure.
I was so drunk, you know.
Do you know what? Looking back, I'm thinking.
I went like that.
Fabricated that whole story. I think.
I literally went behind her, had my arms around her, went like that. And then it was only when they came, both came at the time, I was like, fuck, it's Cat and on. I went, oh! And then I went, oh my God. I said, look, I said, like, they had the same dress. I'm so sorry. I can't believe this. And that was it. But,
was she all right? So how long did you have your arms around it?
Like, yesterday, was she all right?
Yeah. Only like a second.
I would have.
Oh, no, okay. Like half a second. Oh, but it was like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? So yeah, I feel your pain on this one.
That is hilarious though.
You could have come out and give me a right hook straight away.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, what the hell are you doing?
All right, could have.
Yeah. More likely. All right, well, tiddle. I like the game, but I do prefer a shabba. Mm.
Shabba just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Mm.
Shabba. Yeah. It's good. I like the thought of a potential blocky though. Could you say blocky?
Yeah.
Blocky.
Block.
But the thing is, with a shabber or a tiddle, you don't know it's happening until it's happened, is it?
No.
To the fingers of your ass.
If you're a stealth shabber, if you do it correctly.
Yeah.
Okay, hello. I've just been listening to your latest podcast and with the lady who has been offered the job in New York. I just wanted to say go for it, as life is too short. And if your partner is meant to be, you'll both find a way to work it out. Do you believe in that quote, like, if you love someone, let them go? Because I don't.
Nah. Stick on them.
Such a cop-out, isn't it, that? Anyway, the reason is my partner of 6 years, we both live together, has been offered a job in Canada for 6 to 12 months. This will help him climb the ladder in his job. So as I work... and we have 2 dogs and a house, etc. I'm unable to go with him, but I will be going over and he'll be coming back every so often.
Yeah, put that down a little bit, maybe.
Plus, this is for our future, so it is what it is for now. Life is never easy, but you have to grab certain opportunities when you can. Plus side, though, my house will be lovely and clean and I can watch what I like on TV. Thank you, Val.
Yeah, listen, I just think it's each to their own. Like, you know, if you feel like that can work, then great. I think 6 to 12 months as well, it's not ideal at all, but it's...
What do you do if I said to you, though, tomorrow, I've got a job in New York for 12 months?
I'd probably try and convince you to stay, but, you know, ultimately, it's up to you. I would hate for you to resent me later down the line. For me to stopping you, like, I'd want it to be your decision. Like, I would go, look, I'm going to miss you loads.
As if?
No, I know as if, but I don't think that it should be my decision, or it's ultimately your decision. And if that is what you want to do, then what can you do about that?
I reckon you'd be made up, Pete. You'd be like, see you later, love. And packing your bags.
Yeah. I reckon you'd be made up as well.
I'd be made up.
So. 10 days, innit?
I couldn't go because of the kids.
Yeah.
No.
I'd bring them with me. I just put them in school there.
What an art to stay here on my own.
You can stay.
Yeah. I'll come straight through that fucking front door. I'll tell you that right now.
Shoes on.
Shoes on.
Fine.
Leave me little tees around, little pencils everywhere.
Careful what you wish for. Okay,
I think if it works for them, it works for them.
Yeah, I think it's individual.
Everyone's different.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. Hey, Abby and Pete, my whine is about how quickly these bloody supermarkets are pushing any and every occasion on us. I've only just got over the PTSD from the nightmare of Christmas, and already I'm seeing Easter eggs in R1. As if my kids needed any excuse to bleed me dry. This one also comes with the lovely added bonus of the sugar rush meltdowns and verbal abuse when I tell them they have to wait another month before they can have any. Give me strength.
My friend Jane from the school, I saw her in M&S the other day, and she was buying her daughter's Easter egg. Because I was like, Jane, it's going to be off by the time, you know, by the time she's, should know, because the ones that she likes sell out. So they get it in now. Imagine looking at an Easter egg for a month in your house without eating it.
Yeah,
that's like pure torture.
I think that'd be gone, especially for kids. They don't understand why they can't eat their Easter egg that they can see.
But what I love about Easter coming round quickly is the cream egg. Mm. Cream egg is back. Mm. It's my favourite. That and a double decker.
I
love a double decker.
And a flake.
That coffee nougat.
Oh,
yeah. Double decker.
Christ,
ice cold
one. Yeah, oh, yeah. Break your
teeth
on
the nugget.
Yeah.
Snap the nougat.
Yeah, yeah. I love my chocolate in the freezer.
Would you not say that was my favourite chocolate bar?
I just think a double decker is like, that was like 90s.
It's a fucking meal in itself, though. I tell you what, you feel terrible after a double decker.
It's not what I'd choose.
You did it.
Like a caramel or a Westbowl, like beats them.
I'm not a caramelly.
Oh, caramel's unreal.
God, I've seen caramel.
Do you know what I saw people doing on pancake day? Getting cream eggs and like putting them in the microwave and then putting them on the pancake.
No.
Looks heavy, that.
I don't like the cream egg filling.
What?
Liquidy.
That's the best bit.
Oh, liquidy. Oh, you don't like it liquidy?
It needs to be hard and cold.
Mm.
I wouldn't like a melted cream egg.
I don't know. You know,
I like a cream egg.
You eat it in one go. It just freaks me out.
Don't throw it in there.
You do?
Oh, it's a three biter.
It's not.
Two, three bites.
You can take your time. Head off. Egg.
Tiny lick. Don't be clipping this up, you bastard. Sit down for a minute.
Stop that camera one, please, Pete.
Can I just cream egg, for God's sake.
Mom, can you pass my makeup back?
Cream egg, all right? It's the cream egg can bite the head off.
I keep mine in the fridge. Bite the head off. Lick it out.
Fucking hell.
And then I like to dip my chocolate in my cup of tea.
You'd like to, yeah. I like to put it in the freezer, but then dip it in a tea and then let it melt in my mouth.
Mm. You know, my friend like uses a twirl as a straw with a cup of tea. Using a twirl as a straw in a cup of tea.
Okay, I like that.
You like that?
Well, I love a twirl. That's one of my favourites as well. But yeah, I never thought to use it as a straw.
How would that work? Do I have a twirl? It's not got a hole in it.
It's not going to be in there for long.
It has.
Am I thinking of the right
thing? If you bite the tip of a twirl, it's in like four holes.
Oh yeah, like almost like an arrow or something.
Yeah, but the holes go all the way through.
A ripple would be good for that, wouldn't it?
I don't like Galaxy.
You don't like Galaxy?
No.
Galaxy chocolate's Elite. Probably the best chocolate.
Like. Yeah. Lindor maybe.
Oh, I hate Lind.
Oh, you're messed up.
Hate Lind. It's only dairy. Dairy. What's it called?
Cadbury's. Dairy milk.
Dairy milk.
Cadbury's.
All right.
Yeah, I don't fuck with Nestle either.
No.
That's
I love a Caramac though.
Aren't they Kit Kats as well?
No. Oh, yeah. Nestle, yeah, maybe actually.
Yeah, Nestle. Nestle's good. Nestle.
Kit Kat.
Huh?
Kit Kats are good.
Say that again. Right.
Do you want to maybe say that you're a bit ill, Abby?
Yeah, I've got chest infection. If you can't already tell.
Okay.
Let it off.
All right.
It's a horrible noise, isn't it?
Can we get back to helping her out? What are your thoughts on supermarkets kind of like pushing agendas?
Well, it's Mother's Day before Easter. So you've got to buy, you know, I've already bought all my Easter supplies. I bought 3 1-meter grass bunnies, painted plates with bunny rabbits on. And
they were early, weren't they? You got them early.
You have to get in there quick.
Yeah.
I know it's annoying because, you know, it's good marketing, isn't it?
Oh, but the kids love it, don't they? Mm. Love Easter.
It's annoying. It is annoying. Like, sometimes you go in like January and all the Easter stuff's out. It's like, freaking hell, give us a break. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
You know what they're doing.
Yeah, but, you know.
It's Christmas, Valentine's,
yeah.
Mother's Day, Easter.
Well, the way I look at it, I look at it more of a positive way. Like, it's a nice day, isn't it? You could have a normal weekend or you could have an Easter weekend.
So it keeps collecting cards in business. I'm happy.
Yeah, but you know, it's like it's better than the kids are happy, aren't they?
Mm.
Valentine's is a nice thing to do with your partner.
I've been getting loads of little kind of arts and crafts ideas off Instagram for Easter.
Okay.
Like I drew around the kids' hands the other day. Little tip for our listeners. Good. So if you draw around your hand, your five fingers,
yeah,
then you cut the hand out. Cut the middle finger out, fold them two in like that. It's a bunny rabbit hugging itself, and then you make a carrot and stick it in with your child's hand. So I made them.
That was lovely. That,
they were so cute. Nice. And then we painted all the carrots, painted them, and, you know, keeps them occupied for hours.
Yeah, they were happy doing that.
Mm.
I got the whole Manchester Derby out of that.
Did you? Fun for all the family.
Just, yeah. Just fun for all of the family. Everyone's a winner.
I sent Rio and Kate a picture of us the day after the Brits, like doing arts and crafts at like 9 a.m. and they were like, fuck that.
Yeah.
I was like,
they were hanging.
From red carpet to reading books. So I reckon we should cheers to that then.
Yeah, so my information needs to be better, clearer for you.
No.
With guests. Yeah, because they should just
need
food.
You just need to just be more efficient in life in general.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, my information.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll try and
Don't let your mistakes embarrass me as a host.
Wow, that got very headless just very quickly.
Fucking hell, that was deep. That was,
felt
that, I felt that one. Yeah. That one was real. That was some real shit.
Yeah, because it made me, like, I don't care if you forget things, but if it affects how I look.
If it reflects badly on you.
If it reflects badly on me.
Yeah, okay. All right, and what I would like you to do is just be, you know, inclusive of all shoe wearers. Don't discriminate on people wearing shoes. Like, don't be selective. We're all the same in our house. It's either shoes off or it's not. It's not, oh, welcome. Shoes, no problem. Mm.
Okay.
Happy with that?
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. Darling. These aren't my usual glasses.
Certainly not.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
So, as Mother's Day is just around the corner at the time of this record, I thought we'd get you on, Mum, for our special Mother's Day edition.
Woo!
Woo-hoo!
Dave, you're on the Therapy Crouch. Are you a fan of Therapy Crouch, Karen?
Sorry?
Are you a fan of the Therapy Crouch?
I love it. Absolutely love it, yeah.
Do you listen every week?
It's like being at home.
Yeah.
It's just normal. Normal what goes on at home.
I suppose it is really, yeah. Yes. What I'd like to know, my first question is, what was Abby like as a child?
Exactly like she is now.
Mm.
Always something on the go. Something to do. If anything was happening, she was always the main one in it. And it was exciting. I enjoyed everywhere.
Mm-hmm. As a youngster, was she good at school?
I wouldn't say she was always interested.
In school?
Yeah, I'd have been told that she got 10 A stars.
Nine
or something.
A stars.
Yeah, but Abby never really needed to study. It was kind of a natural thing with Abby.
Oh, yeah.
She liked the playful side, I felt.
Yeah.
She was always in trouble. I was never away from the headmaster's office.
What was she in trouble for?
Oh, everything. Not doing what she should be doing. Yeah, on the grass when they should have been doing this.
I was never doing anything mean.
No, it was never nothing naughty.
Just messing around.
It was just totally messing around. On the grass when no one's allowed in the grass. Doing something over the lunchtime she shouldn't have been doing. I was always in the headmistress office, right through the seniors and also right through the juniors. I remember one time, I think I was having our John. And the teacher actually waited for the 9 months till the pregnancy was over and then took me in the office, me and Abby. This is junior school. And she said, all the mums are complaining because all the kids are not allowed to do anything for lunchtime or a break time, they have to do what Abby says. And Abby goes, well, wow. if I don't organise it, it's always boring. Which I found that really funny. You know, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
A born delegator.
But she was,
a domineering side, you're really coming through.
Yeah, it was
organisation, isn't it? Like, she obviously is very prevalent today.
Yeah.
Organisation.
Organised fun.
But I was never, ever mean or never a bully or anything like that.
Nothing like that. None of my kids were like that. Never naughty, but just always up to little antics. Mm. Just.
Do you know one of my favourite stories, Karen, was when you found out through someone at your work that Abby had been out on one of the early days?
Yeah,
Pete?
I used to.
What? It's a good story. I know it.
I forgot about that, actually.
No, that was our first night out. We sneaked out and stayed out till 6 o'clock in the morning.
I would not
believe that for one second.
I'm telling you the truth.
I used to teach in the college. Mm. So I used to teach all young girls, 16 onwards. So they would all be in town. And Abby had a friend, Charlotte, that she was always with, kind of a main friend then. And so they were always together. So I knew Charlotte's family and they knew me. So if Abby was going to Charlotte's, that was fine.
Yeah.
I didn't give it a second thought or worry. I knew they'd be looking after her. And same when Charlotte come to mine. So Abby's like, I'm going to Charlotte's. Okay, Ab. So out she goes to Charlotte's. So next thing, that was Saturday. Next thing, Sunday morning, she's home quite early, really.
Because we had to hide in the street for like 3 hours when we went to work. This is Sunday, actually.
This is Sunday, yeah. So she comes home really early in a taxi. I'm like, oh my God, what's up? Thought she'd be saying in Charlotte, oh, I'm not, I've got tonsillitis. Come in. I'd be on the couch, lying on the couch, continental coil. She couldn't keep her eyes open. Oh, I don't feel a bit well.
This
on the
incredible couch,
fire on. I'm making a roast dinner. Yeah, Abby, you okay?
Mom, you've just added the roast dinner in.
Roast dinner on her knee. She's lying on the couch eating the roast dinner.
Looked after
her all day. Full day on the couch. And then I goes into work the next morning. All the girls. Hiya, Karen. Seen your Abby out last night. Like, what? Oh, yeah. And described the clothes. She had my clothes on.
Which you cut up with scissors afterwards.
Yeah, so I goes into school and all the girls said, oh, Senior Abby out. And I'm going, Abby? Oh, yeah. She was in, what was the club called that you used to go?
Barcelona.
No, it wasn't about, what was the club called? After club?
Sunrise.
Yeah, then to the sunrise for the next morning. I couldn't believe it. My stomach. I just wanted to get home and kill her.
So did you have to complete your day's work and then get back?
I had to do the whole day's work.
After you've been looking after her for...
After I'd done the whole day on the couch, she had tonsillitis, but it was really, she was hungover.
Yeah.
So I couldn't wait to get home and I'm going, how are you? I feel a little better. Oh, do you now? Not to do with you being out. Not to do with being out till after 4, 5, 6 in the morning. Underage with all my students from class.
Oh, did she learn a lesson?
No, but it was fun. It was fun. I've done it myself.
Superb.
Cags, you were obviously on the show with Abby a long time ago, The Parent Trip. Do you remember that?
Yes.
What was that like, that filming experience?
Horrendous. Horrendous. They said, which one? You picked it, didn't you, Ab? With the camels. We thought we were going to have a little trip through the camels of a day. And then back to the hotel of a night. I had all stilettos in my bag and all nice clothes.
Were the heli handsome? Like,
yeah.
You were trekking through India, right?
But they didn't. It was kind of just pick one, wasn't it? We thought the camels were going the camel of the day.
I can't remember that we had the choice.
There were so many people that were going into it, weren't they? And you had to choose one. So we got there, and then the first morning we got up, didn't we, Ab? And it was lovely. We got there in the night time. They had all the Indian girls all dancing in this beautiful Indian hotel. It was like a palace, wasn't it?
Mm.
We went out in the grass and they had all the food out and the Indian girls were dancing. And then the next morning it started, we had to get up and we got on those little
tuk-tuks.
Yeah.
And they put us on the road Oh my God. What
it was
that
carnage. You know, no quite, lanes. It's like a lawless.
Yeah.
There's no lanes. You just everyone abiding
by
surviving.
The highway code, I imagine.
Just surviving, weren't you? Getting through it.
Yeah. It was an incredible experience. Yeah. You know, it was kind of comparing mother and daughter relationships to mother and daughter relationships all around the world.
Yeah.
And we were with like a traveling Indian family who were like entertainers basically.
Yeah.
And they lived on their own kind of carriage cart and traveled through all the villages. But bearing in mind all these villages, you know, out in the countryside in India, they didn't even have electricity or anything. So they were like the entertainment.
Mm.
And we just, you know, we'd be just driving through fields and they'd pick vegetables out the ground and just eat them, like completely different way of like incredible.
Did you get involved in the entertainment performance of Shallow? Or?
Yeah, I had to do a bloody dance, which I was like, all the producers hated me because I'm actually quite shy.
Yeah, yes.
No, I am.
So I've heard from you.
And I was like,
no one else has ever said it.
I didn't want to do the dance. I was so worried about doing it. But they loved us, didn't they? Like,
yeah, yeah. One of the girls had was it a leg or ankle or something
like
that?
She had like a big abscess on her foot.
And then she couldn't dance, so the whole thing got changed round where we would dance for her and give her the money that we got, remember? And we had to go to the
bloody cow farm.
The gypsy cattle farm, wasn't it?
Cattle convention. And dance to like all these like, you know, thousands of people who hadn't even seen a Western person in their entire lives.
They hadn't seen anyone with blonde hair.
Something's fishy here. Yeah. One of the villagers going, yeah, I'll get these dancing. Yeah. You go to the hospital, pretend you've hurt your arm.
Next thing you got to see blonde bombshells stand up.
I know, yeah. But you know,
I remember you saying that.
It was the first time I'd stayed in a tent. So, you know, I thought we'd be like staying in hotels.
Yeah.
And we rolled up and they'd set up this campsite and I was just hysterical crying and I didn't want to get out the car.
Mm.
Not in an ungrateful way. I was just scared.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like being away from home. So to be completely out of my comfort zone. And we used to sit there of a night on the table with just hundreds of villagers just standing around us in a circle. And by like the third night, we didn't even notice them. We were just like me, the producers, the camera guy, you know, we didn't even notice, obviously my mom, we didn't even notice that all these people were around us, did we?
No.
But we really took to it, like, I loved it. Like, we were galloping through
Abby
the desert.
Abby was fantastic.
Camels.
She was, like, racing on the big mass of camels.
They all bet, like, on horse racing, but on camels out there, like all the locals.
Mm.
So, obviously, after I was over the initial shock that we had to stay in a tent, and bearing in mind, we had to pack up this tent every day and do 200 miles on camelback every day. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Die, yeah. We had to, that was part of the show, but you had no skin on your bum left, mum,
no,
did you?
No.
Literally, we were like, I can't go on a camel, my mum's bum.
No skin on her bum.
But when they said, do you want to, you know, you ride on the camels on the trip, we were like, yeah.
We thought it was going to be fake for TV, like 5 minutes on the camel.
No, it's a hell yeah.
Yeah, it was every day, all day from morning till night. You used to get to the camp and it was pitch black. They used to send people ahead, didn't they, to set up camp. And we would get there pitch black and we'd have a little light on our head.
I was like, can't you fucking cheat this? This is going to be like 30 seconds on the show. We're on the camel for 9 hours.
Yeah.
Surely you can just like do like, we can just do like a cheating shot.
Yeah.
But they literally had us on camelback for 9 hours a day. But obviously that added to the kind of our mood and how we felt and breaking point. But I bloody loved it.
Yeah. Did it do anything for your mother-daughter relationship afterwards? Like, that's quite a mad experience to do as an adult, especially to go over to like India or...
It was difficult. I remember like on one of the earlier days and he goes, go to the toilet now because that's going to be the last time you can go. And you're like, well, what do you mean? Remember?
There's no toilets in the middle of the desert in India.
Yeah. So you just have to like
dig a hole and
like there was all the camera crew and all the chefs and there was all people there. And you just have to try and
people put some baby wipes around like they're going on to fashion.
And we didn't even get shower for like a week.
No.
My eyelids were like so swollen, like
I was full of mouth ulcers.
Mm-hmm. No skin on your ass.
We used to be lying in the tent, me and Abby, like that, holding each other's hands for nights. And then we'd get up. You could hear the drums. Mm. Drums were beating, weren't they? We're like, oh, it's gone. And you'd wake up the next morning.
Mm.
And there was about 2,000 people looking at you as you got up.
No, we'd just get up in the morning and get, you know, we'd hardly slept at all because we were like, oh, what's that noise? Then it was roasting in the day, freezing at night. Yeah. And then we'd get up and there'd be a million kids.
Oh, just looking at
you. A million local kids just round our tent, sitting in silence until we got up. And then once we got up, they were like, like, and like the few little English words, up there, they were like, mama, yeah, love you, mama. Like, yeah. And it was amazing. Like they just loved us.
There was more people coming, wasn't there?
Mm.
Wow.
Because they'd never seen anything like this. It was a good experience to be completely thrown out of your comfort zone and do something completely off the wall, because that was one of the reasons why I wanted to do it. Because, you know, you can go on holiday with your mom, you could go to Spain or wherever in the world and have a, you know, nice holiday in a hotel, but you would never get that chance to do something like that.
It's an experience, isn't it? So your mum, not just to Abby and, you know, your three other kids, but you're also mother-in-law to Peter. When you look back on your first impressions of Pete when you first met, what comes to mind?
When I first met Pete...
Mum, Mike, sorry.
Abby's 21st and we had it on the Albert Dock.
Is that when we first met?
Yeah. And Pete came with all his friends and you barely kind of introduced me to him because he was kind of with all his mates in one corner and Abby was there,
Pete,
and all the people I knew.
He hosted the party?
That's the first time, yeah. But I hadn't met him. We hadn't been introduced.
I can't believe
that's
that.
That's how I met Pete for the first time. And then the second time you came to our house, Pete, because you weren't working, you broke your nose.
Oh, yeah.
And Pete just came, we didn't know, to the house. Abby had sent him.
Like a stray dog.
Yeah. Oh, hi. Come in, piece of crap. Sit down.
Come in, piece of crap.
So that was, do you remember that, Pete?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And do you remember your first impressions of him? What did you think about him?
I didn't really know anything about him. It was just one night. Abby was in the kitchen and she was like, oh, Mum, I'm going, tell me everything she was doing, which she never does. Mum, I'm going out and we're going here. And like, what are you telling me all this for? It's normally, Mum, I'm going out, see you later.
Yeah.
And just oversubscribing what she was doing. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, you're going out with your mates. Put your coat on. No, I don't want my coat on.
Mm.
I'm going, Abby, it's freezing, put your coat on. So out she runs. So I'm hanging out the window.
No, that's when you wouldn't give me any money for a taxi. You said, I was like, can I have money to go to Kate? And you was like, I'll drop you off.
Yeah. Yeah. I know there was something wrong, something going on.
Yeah.
She was
That's
acting,
when I had no money to buy Pete a drink at the bar.
She was acting unreal. I'm like, you know, I'll take it or whatever. So she off she goes, out the door. So our house is three stories high. Mm. So the kitchen was at the middle level. So I'm hanging out the window going, Abby, where are you going? I couldn't understand what she was doing. And then seeing this, was it like a BMW?
I had an X5, Jeep,
Black one, something like that. And she runs.
Gangster.
She runs pim, out pim. Of my house down and jumps in this car. I'm like, where's she going? I'm like that, Abby, Abby. And that was the night she went off with Peace. But I didn't know she was going with Peace. I didn't know where she was going.
I came back a few hours later.
Yeah.
And I know.
It wasn't like a night. Oh, no.
No, that didn't happen then.
Mm.
Abby's previously said when Jeff found out Abby was dating a Liverpool footballer, he was like, oh, you're joking, you're not going to do this, you'll do that. Was you the same or was you like, get in?
No, not really. I didn't really know who he was or what she was doing because it was quite secretive, wasn't it?
And well, then no one really tells...
You know, you need to get to know someone fair. You know, you see someone, you like them, they ask you out. It might not work. So you don't be telling everyone like the first someone's chatting you up. You have to go out with them, don't you?
Yeah, and, I mean, that was our first date, right? See, so like, we're not going to, Ab's not going to broadcast that.
Don't know
that,
if it's
like,
going
until,
fit
yeah,
any
I could
further,
be a complete
do you?
Twat.
Yeah, exactly.
You mean could be?
And you not only a mother, but a grandmother now. How do you feel about coming a grandmother at such an early age? I know my mum didn't take it too well.
It doesn't bother me, really.
Yeah, it doesn't bother you. Except
doesn't bother you, except don't, you won't let the kids.
Don't call me grandmother.
They're not allowed to call her grandma.
I remember I had to meet Peace at Stoke to pick Sophia up. And Sophia, he pulled up with Sophia in the car and she was shouting, "Nan!" And I went, "I'll have no more of that nan."
Yeah.
It's Cags, that's it. And she never uttered that word ever since.
They've never
she
called
was a word. She was only 12 months old. She was 12 months. I picked her up and she went, "All right, Cags." And it's always been that.
It's always been like that in our family in general. I think back to even Trish and my mum was like that. Trish.
Yeah.
Nanny Trees is actually
Does Fran get called Nan?
Occasionally, Fran or Nan.
Yeah, same in mine though. Mine was Betty.
Yeah.
Did you call your Nan Betty?
Johnny and Betty?
Yeah.
And some people love it, don't they? Call me grandma.
I can't wait to be called grandma.
If you say that again, I'll kill you.
Some people can't wait to be grandma.
I used to be out with all my kids and all be going, "Mom!" I'm like, "Shut up."
Yeah, my mum doesn't even let us call her mum in public, never mind Nan.
I wouldn't mind being granddad.
Hey, sis. Like,
literally.
Well, you do look like sisters. You've had that a lot. Obviously, you two went to Kylie recently. And there was a lot of people that thought you were actually sisters.
The better looking sister, aren't you, Mum?
Yeah. Obviously.
She is. She can have that one.
You've had that a bit, haven't you? Which is a good thing, obviously.
Yeah. Mm. And I've been at Abby's loads of times and someone's come to the door, knocked at the door and went, "Hi, Ab." And thought I was Abby because I opened her front door.
You caught yourself in the mirror and gone, "I've still got it."
I've had lunch with Karen or, you know, some of the builders were in. So I spoke to Abby earlier. And I'm like,
"That's her mom."
Made up with that. So obviously Mother's Day has just been, you've brought up four kids, got grandkids.
Yeah.
Any words of wisdom?
Wisdom, just enjoy it really because it goes, I loved my kids. I absolutely adored them.
So Karen, you and Abby are similar in some ways. You both had four kids and you both had them relatively early. Would you advocate having kids early, like in a relationship?
I don't think there's any right time. It's really hard work when you have them. And I don't think it matters. You adapt, your kids adapt.
Yeah.
And that's just your life. It's just the way it goes, isn't it? I don't think if it's older, you'd enjoy it more. If you're younger, you'd enjoy it more. It's the time that you have. Like, I always had a great time with my kids. I love being with them. It was always funny. Abby was always, she was always singing. We were all getting ready on a Saturday to go and watch her singing. It was fantastic.
I'm the favourite, aren't I?
She was the favourite. Yeah.
She was the favourite. Then Sean was born.
Yeah, 18 months later.
When she was the oldest.
Abby was so active. My friend Joan, who lived facing, said, there's this road show. Why don't you put her in there? So we thought,
that's the road show that I went to whose dancers came, you know, who did Crouchfest.
Yeah.
Well, she was very talented at that age.
She was about, I'm going to say she was eight. I was having our John. Abby was eight. So we took her to the road show, dropped her off, and it was dropped her off twice a week. So that was great. Got rid of her for a couple of hours. Mm. And it went on for a few months and then it was the show's on. So we went to see her and it was me and our Fran, all the rest of the kids, me mum, everyone come to see her and we're sitting in this pub. And next thing, Abby comes out dressed as Madonna. We were sitting down. I didn't even know it was her. Next thing, she got up and sang Material Girl. I could not believe my eyes.
Incredible.
She was fantastic.
Really?
Fantastic. And that was when a singing career started, wasn't it, Ab?
Shut up.
She was amazing. It was our monthly day out in the pubs. We used to go around all the pubs and watch the shows.
You
the
must have been
so I never get dragged to Harlequin show.
My God.
The show went on for at least another 10 years after that as well.
Then our Chloe. She won. Chloe was doing it all.
She used to win every show for Pat and Craig. Yeah, she was the main one. Craig would do your hair with Neil Fabulous and I'd be making the big sequins dresses, long dresses like Diana Ross, the little fish. Oh my God.
What was
her best
performance?
Unreal. best performance. She'd win everything all the time. Mm.
She was. I used to like doing Holiday. Holiday.
Madonna
as well.
Again.
She used to do Madonna. And what was that Madonna. One? Stop.
Stop.
What was
and
that called?
And your name of love.
No, that Spice
one.
Girls.
No. No. What was it no. called? No. It's
just... Sam Brown. Stop. Yeah.
What's that girl
oh
like?
My God. She won a competition.
Jamelia was... covered it. I think it was in Bridget Jones.
Yes, it was.
You better. No, I don't
yeah.
know.
You stop. Better stop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. She was unreal.
No.
Go give, on, the, give the people what they want.
I'm not well. I've got no time. Voice. That's, can you see how quiet I am today? Honestly.
Okay.
So oh, in what? school plays, she was the main one.
I was not. I never got picked. Fucking Miss whatever her name was hating me.
No, you did. You were...
Oh, Dorothy.
Dorothy.
That's a Dorothy. Big role.
Yeah.
I don't know, she's only got one song, hasn't she?
Dorothy?
Mm.
What, from... Wizard of Oz.
Mm. She's only got one song, but she's got all the frigging dialogue.
The main
she?
Part. She's the main character. Who else would you rather?
She's the main one in the whole of the film.
If I only had a break.
Abby was singing, and she was unreal. Absolutely loved her.
Did you always
cool story,
have,
bro.
Have a suspicion she'd be destined for like showbiz?
Oh, God,
shut up, Ross.
Absolutely.
Did
Absolutely.
You always think she'd be the showbiz star that she is today?
What the hell? Shut your mouth, you. You love belittling me.
You know what?
Shut your mouth, you.
She'd be a content... Definitely. Did you ever think she'd be a content creator?
Absolutely bloody not.
CEO of the company on your mouth.
No.
CEO.
Yeah.
She's
Chief
the CEO.
Entertainment Officer.
Sorry. We were a close family. We had the
Why
best
do you keep
times.
Talking in past tense? I loved all my children. We had the best times. Because we're still alive.
They grow up and become twats, don't they?
Yeah.
Because it's a different thing now. You're all adults. I'm thinking about the past when you are the mum and you're telling them all what to do and come on, we're going here and we're doing this and we're doing that. It's different now. You're your mum to your own family. John's with his girlfriend, Elle's with her boyfriend. It's not the same.
What was that like, Karen? Because obviously that me and Ab have got that to come where they have grown up and they're more independent. And like, is there anything?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's
you know where we live, Mum?
When Abby met you and she ran off with you, you took my daughter.
Mm.
Oh my God. I thought I was going to die.
Really? Do you blame me?
I cried. I couldn't get myself together. I know you were only in Manchester, but, you know, we were together night and day. We did everything together, went everywhere. I adored her. She was everything.
Mm.
And then you just come and took a piece.
I feel sorry. I apologise for that.
It was the worst time.
I didn't know that I took her.
Well done, Pete. Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as a family, we still did everything together.
Yeah.
So Mother's Day, can you look at the Abby ever making any homemade gifts, you know, like kids doing that in school, thing made out of pasta?
I remember stealing a tester from Boots once and wrapping it up for me mum for Mother's Day.
Oh my. Do you remember that, Karen? Did it have the word tester written on it?
It was a Vichy foundation. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do remember a little bit of Vichy.
I was half used.
I was like...
Hold on, rewind. Like you stole a tester.
I was like 8 at the time.
Teen.
Yeah.
Mr. Teen out there.
No, I was like 8. I remember nicking a tester and wrapping it up and giving it to me on Mother's Day.
Nice.
But was she good on Mother's Day? Were
always. You kid,
yeah.
Always.
I imagine that being, even at that young age, I imagine that being very...
Yeah, she's quite creative, isn't she? And she likes to do everything and surprise everyone and give gifts. And so yeah. We had
it's one
everything.
Of her fortes.
Yes. Yeah, that's what she loves. And that's what we did as a family.
So you came along and spoiled it all.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe. Getting that vibe. You can have her back if you like.
You can't take all my youth. Give me... Spike me with 4 children, then give me back. That's just not how it works.
Then give me back.
Destroy my looks, my body.
Oh, God.
And then toss me aside.
Mm.
Oh, don't come steady on, ladies. It's not gang off on me.
No, I've had a fabulous time as a mother. It's been
What's
amazing.
What's your number
it's been the
one
best.
Top parenting tip?
time with your kids and spending time and doing stuff with them. I don't think you need to be buying them, and it causes trouble. The more gifts and stuff they have, I think it's just time being together, being on holiday together, on the beach, going out, time.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That, I think.
So we say it as well.
Yeah,
don't
because
we?
You know what, you can spoil them all you like, but
yeah.
Just
gifts.
And because I suppose everyone says it as well, like it goes so quick. I imagine that was for you, it just feels like just gone.
Yeah, I had everything, and then it just went overnight. And you won't know until you come to that point. Where they're always with you.
Mum, you've had a 12-year gap between two kids, so you've had like lots of like you
double
had,
the fun.
No, so eight, double the fun.
No, eight years.
Yeah, so you had me and Sean, and then an 8-year gap, and then you had two little ones. So you've had it twice.
It's like you had two sets of two kids.
Yeah,
but we shit. Always went. We went everywhere together. We went everywhere
exactly
together.
No shit.
Everywhere. These are
Bryce sparking the toolbox. That doesn't even make sense anymore. Just a complete tool, basically. Yeah.
Right, it's tool. And
there's loads of fun going on in my house. You know, one of the biggest things Abby did was when she went into Strictly.
Mm.
Oh my God, that was one of the best moments ever. I was so proud of her. I had all my friends round in my house. We were all drinking wine, or we all had the telly on, all watching her. And I was just praying, like, if she just stayed in for about three, I'd be really, really happy. I don't want her to go out on the first. And we all watched the show, and then she
were
came.
Were you there?
I was, no, not in the first one. Not in the first one, no. I was in my kitchen, and she came out, she had this blue dress on, and she was the last dance. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, whoa, blown away. She was by far the best. And I just thought, she could win this easy. That was just like the first night.
I remember.
I couldn't believe it, and everyone was going mad over a dance. It was incredible.
How did you find kind of Ab being known by people? Like, were people coming up to you? Like, all of a sudden, I suppose she was just your Abby, whatever. And then all of a sudden, she was, people knew who she was. What was that like for you?
She was the nation's Abby.
I'm just going to say,
why are you being absolute twat?
That's a good question, surely. Like,
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Why do I feel like I'm just getting the piss taken out of
you? No, that's true. Like, so you went from, you were literally like,
no,
your
she was Dorothy.
Daughter, and
she,
then all of a sudden everyone
no,
was.
No, she was Dorothy at school. She was always something in the school. Our Sean was always football. Our John was always his music. My kids were always doing something. So we weren't known as quite a family. Ellie was a bit younger then, but I was always saying to someone, come and watch Abby, come and see Sean, come and watch John. You know, well, you and Abby used to come and watch Sean, didn't you?
Yeah.
We followed him everywhere. Amazing. But that was the same. We followed Abby. We were at Sean's football match.
Reluctantly, I was, yeah.
We went everywhere.
Is that why you never came to any of mine?
Yeah, because I was dragged there my whole childhood. I absolutely hate football.
Yeah, so usually we do agony abs on this podcast, but because you're here, I think we should do agony cags.
Yeah.
Ross, take it away, please.
Take it away, Ross.
Okay. Hey, guys. Opinions on this would be hugely appreciated so me and my other half can settle an ongoing debate.
Go on.
We've been in a relationship for 10 years now, and I've always had our own lives, which met back home of an evening. What? Which met back up home one evening. However, I am now pregnant, first trimester, meaning I'm absolutely incapable of doing anything but eat my tea and go to bed the moment I get home from my 9 to 5 due to extreme pregnancy exhaustion, crippling backache, and the morning sickness, which lasts the moment I wake up until the moment I go to bed at night.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Amen to that, sister.
Amen, girl.
Yeah. My other half is on his fitness and well-being journey. It's all right for some. And goes to the gym every evening, barring one during the week.
What do you want him to do? Like, be tired as well?
No, just
can he not go to the gym? Is he not allowed to?
Sit and massage his swollen little feet.
Yeah. He finishes work at 7 p.m. by the way, meaning I am so lonely because the things I would usually do, e.g. meeting up with friends, going to the gym, seeing family, I cannot even think about at the minute. P.S. He is also working every weekend, both days, and fitting in the gym after that too.
Bet having an affair.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. He's just got a man pregnant. Yeah. Oh, I'm working late, mate. I'm doing weekends now as well.
Sorry, I'm going through a tunnel.
In order to have 1 hour of time together in the evening, I'm forcing myself to stay awake until he gets home, which makes me so tired and work the following day. I am well aware he isn't going out getting pissed and staying out until all hours and is in fact only going to the gym. But surely he has to make some sacrifices during this pregnancy too. Looking forward to hopefully seeing the response on our Sunday evening when we watch the pod together. P.S. We haven't announced the pregnancy, so please keep a nun.
Oh, God. Well, firstly, congratulations.
There's going to be two sides to this one.
And commiserations.
No,
I get it. Like, that's very hard. You had very similar symptoms.
Yeah.
Were you like that, Karen?
I think it's, you know, you're all right. You're all right taking part 50-50 whilst getting pregnant. But once you're pregnant, you kind of back off a little bit.
But if he finishes work at 7, right? And like, you know, maybe he should come home. You shouldn't be doing that every night.
Go to the gym every night.
No.
But what if she's asleep though?
What if she's sick though and needs help?
Dinner, then she goes to bed before.
But she doesn't want to eat a dinner on her own.
But she said as soon as she gets in from work, is it like 5 or something? And then he's not even home then. So she's asleep when he gets home. So should he not just go to the gym and then come back?
Or should she get up early and go to the gym? Why go after work?
Exactly, Ross. See, listeners, that's why Ross is a top. Top guy. See?
Are you having a go at me?
Like she's asleep anyway.
No,
am I supposed to be out?
I think I agree with the...
She's asleep, may as well come in at 7 when she wakes up.
I think, like, I get the symptoms. It's horrendous being that ill for that long. I do get that. I know it's hard for you, definitely, but...
It's hard for me too.
No, it's not hard at all for us. But what I'm saying is, it's like, what is he? Should he come home and just
help
lie with her?
Yeah,
but she's asleep.
She might not be asleep.
No one likes sleeping on their own, Pete.
Agreed.
If he came home, she might not go to sleep. She was probably going to sleep because she's bored on her own.
Exactly that.
Yeah,
and she's.
I'm with you. It's a bit of give and take, but I'm saying if she is asleep,
I think obviously she finishes work at 5. She eats her dinner early. She goes to bed. And she is lonely. I think they should come to a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And he halves his gym work.
Mm-hmm.
And on the days he doesn't go to the gym, he rushes home with like a takeaway or cooks her a nice dinner and says to her, you have a little snack at 5, a little power nap. Have a snack, a power nap. I'll make you dinner when I get home.
Yeah.
And they eat together, chat and then go to bed around 9:30.
Okay, can I just play devil's advocate a little bit here? Imagine, right? He's going to the gym because he's fighting his weight, right? He stops going to the gym, but he's nice to her. She has the baby and then sees him and goes, fuck off, you fat bastard.
I'm leaving you.
Gets rid of him.
I don't think he's going to the gym for weight.
Yeah, but how do you know?
Management.
What I'm saying is he might be battling a real weight.
No, he just doesn't want to be in that.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, it's all different scenarios. He could be, you know, and then he could feel shit about himself and then not be good as well.
She's probably a nightmare to be around.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, she's probably a nightmare. And he's staying out the house late. She's knackered.
It's not 2v1 anymore, mate.
I think he should do his 2-hour gym in the morning and get home at 5.
I think he's
the hell
bastard.
Goes the gym
he's
for 2 hours?
No. Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
If he's working on his weight issue that he's got.
You've just made this up that he's got a weight issue. No one in the right frame of mind goes to the gym for 2 hours.
Yeah.
35 minutes.
You can bang it out. Like,
35 minutes is sufficient.
You can bang that out in 40 minutes.
We bang it out. Switch. Switch and strength. Me and Pete doing strength and switch.
Look at us. You know what I mean? Like, we are the pinnacle.
Sheen. Look at us.
Sheen.
I'm fatter than Pete. Oh God, Pete had me again in the mirror. I had the girls in bed with me last night. We were watching the Young Victoria. No, yeah. And I told you my dresser table mirror goes into the mirror and Pete just like stripping off, bending over. But you don't know that you do that because you do it every night.
And no, I do know because you tell me every single day. Would you rather full frontal?
Yeah, I actually would.
No.
I'd rather see the full frontal than a big
than the black holocaust sack.
My daughters are in the bed.
You're traumatised. Yeah.
I don't want to see a big friggin'.
What cutter was that? Can't say any of this. Cut.
What's a black hole cock?
Who said that?
My mum.
Oh, God.
It's the motion, though, because the pants come down so quick.
What do you want me to do? Like this, I'm getting ready for bed.
Then
like,
you do this like slow bend over and then you pick each foot
I'm getting double mirrored here, do you know what I mean? I'm getting like bang. It's like a triple mirror situation. So I don't know where to go. Like.
I don't know where to look.
What's supposed to do? Triple mirror, like my daughters are in the bed. I'm
but
trying.
But Liv said to me, "Mom, your bum is so much bigger than Dad's." Oh. I was like, "I know."
Yeah, but that's
conquering a hanky.
Yeah,
I've got a conquering a hanky. That's like women's bums are bigger. Most, yeah. Of the time.
So, any final words for the woman, the pregnant lady?
I think it's got to be compromise.
She's having a baby. Mm. You can't. Be doing like if you're a single fit person, you have to accommodate your partner.
Yeah, listen.
And he should be going the gym maybe for that 2 hours of a morning and home when she needs him when she's been to work all day and tired.
I think it would be nice to just not have to kind of say these things. Just, you know, a bit of common sense and a bit of compassion.
Yeah.
Voluntary compassion.
Joking aside, I think you do have to make sacrifices when you have a baby, and that includes having a pregnant wife like to look after. But having said that as well, he seems to be working a lot. And I don't know, obviously, if it's legitimate working, that's till 7 o'clock and weekends as well. It's full hammer job.
No, I'm surprised he even got the energy.
He's probably having a kip. He's probably having a nap in the car.
Yeah.
I think split it. Compromise.
Yeah, compromise. And if he's that tired, sack the gym off.
Yeah.
If he's working weekends.
He's never once said he's tired, by the way.
If he's working weekends, forget the gym for a bit, few months, she gets back on her feet.
He could just put like a workout DVD on in the house and do it in front of her, naked.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just don't do it in front of the mirror from behind. Whatever you do, God's sake. Okay, right, I'm gonna move on. Hey guys, hoping you both helped me out on this one. My wife and I have purchased a new house in the countryside that requires a complete renovation.
Oh, Jel.
I handled all the planning details with the architect and so on. She's been asking for my input on the design, which, to be honest, I don't find myself interested in. Initially, I tried to share my opinions, but it turns out that everything she chooses is the exact opposite of my suggestions. As a result, I've adopted a hands-off approach because I genuinely don't have a preference. However, she now views me as unhelpful and uncaring. The other day, after I went to play golf, I was instructed to return immediately to visit the bathroom shops. The problem is, she chooses something that expects me to talk about it for the entire evening and then changes her mind. This project is transforming a previously balanced and normal situation into an incredibly stressful ordeal. What actions should I take to make her normal again?
That sounds like you, Pete, doesn't it?
That is very much my life.
Do you know what? I'm just starting to think why like people even get married. Because every single question that comes into this podcast, everyone goes, oh my God, that's me. Everyone experienced it. Everyone's unhappy. No one likes spending time with each other. No one has got the same interests as the partner. So,
well, I one of the first Therapy Crouch podcasts, I said I'd be better suited to one of my best pals. But unfortunately, I don't fancy him in any way.
Not
a little bit? Not at all. Not at all. You do, by the sounds of it.
No, thanks.
But unfortunately, you're not going to be in love with your best pal, though, are
no,
you?
No, but that's what I'm saying. I just don't know. But what I'm saying is all my common interests are...
With your friends.
Pete, you love going to the tile shop with me. You love house stuff, to be fair.
I don't mind house stuff, but like bathroom tiles and things like that, like you have a real passion for.
And it sounds like she wants to bring them, even though she knows that she's never going to take his opinion in. She just wants him there.
Yeah, so yeah. So like
she just wants an iron.
Whatever he says.
You do need someone with you. It's nice to have someone say, yeah, that's great what you've picked.
But that's the same with Ab when she wears
support,
something.
Support, isn't it? Yeah, you just want that. Pass on your back, like that support. Yeah, that's great what you've done. That looks lovely what you've done. Don't you think?
Yeah, but like
Ab, doing everything on your own, you might as well not be married.
Yeah, but
Ab will come down and she'll say, do you like these shoes or these shoes? And I'll say, they're absolute belters, then wear those ones. She said, I'm going to wear these. like that, literally like that.
And then you'll change your response to go, oh yeah, you're
right.
Well,
then I go, yeah,
you're right, babe.
God, I was so wrong, actually.
Can we leave now? But it's still nice to have an opinion, isn't it? Someone that's showing some interest.
That's why I love Martin so much.
I actually don't mind the house stuff. I'll be honest. I don't mind
Martin,
it.
Martin, we talk for hours.
Yeah, but he's an interior designer.
I know.
Like, literally, like, I'm always going to get
we
beat
just,
by
like,
that.
We just, like, drape, like, a piece of fabric over a couch. You just sit there looking at it for, like, hours. Do we think of that?
Sounds riveting.
It is riveting.
Would you like me to be like that?
I'd love you to be like that. I'd love you to be able to build things. I would love to be able to build things myself. I see all these women on Instagram, like, you know, stripping the stairs and putting runners down and bricking, you know, a backsplash.
I've bricked a few backsplashes.
What?
To be a couple of my bricks of backsplash.
What do you mean?
No, it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, Mum, I've really enjoyed having you on.
Yeah, I love it.
She's pissed now. I'll take her home.
Really enjoyed it.
Do you remember when we did our podcast together, Cags?
So is that right? I've just found out today that my mum was the kind of trial run.
Me and Cags were the pilot.
It was 12 months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, just over, yeah. And we sat on our John's couch and
my John hair was short. We had full fringe.
Yeah.
I reckon we put that out.
Yeah.
Oh, I reckon you've we put got that it, out one week.
Got a John's got it, apparently.
Got a bonus your face.
So, yeah, we've come a long way from the pilot.
We have. Yeah. At least we had a nice meal that night beforehand, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We went to Blue's Kitchen.
We're going to have a meal now.
Yeah.
Mm. Quickly before we get to
Blue's. Abby doesn't feed anyone on this podcast.
Not even Rio.
I know, poor Rio. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Mum. I've really enjoyed it and you'll have to come back soon.
And I've loved it. If you want to get rid of Pete, no, jump on. That'll be fine.
I think Pete sounds like he'd more like to get rid of me. Oh.
Well, me and Pete could do, couldn't we, Pete?
Yeah, easily. Who needs her, Karen? You know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad you had a good time and thanks for coming and peace out.
Shabba.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.